This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 24th, 2023. I'm Caleb Brown. During the pandemic, access to mental health care, as with other kinds of health care, cratered. To prevent some of the predictable fallout, many argue it's time to expand the ranks of prescribing psychologists. Beth Ron Rimmer is a clinical psychologist and a prescribing psychologist. We spoke earlier this month at the Cato Institute's State Health Policy Summit. This is the first of two conversations on the subject.
There were tremendous problems before the pandemic. We had communities who were waiting for healthcare, comprehensive integrative healthcare, prescriptive healthcare for 6, 8, 10 months at a time. Particularly people who couldn't, who weren't ambulatory, people who were so seriously ill they couldn't get to a clinic, couldn't get to a physician, people living in rural areas with no transportation, people in urban areas who didn't have any resources to get on a bus or get into a metro train to be able to get to a doctor's office.
And presumably other people who simply had to wait many months to
and
get
other people in well-to-do communities who were on 6-month, 9-month wait lists.
And this is when you say prescriptive care, you're talking about a physician writing a prescription and sending them off to a pharmacy to pick it up to ameliorate some problem that they're having.
Right.
All right. So I've spoken to some other people here, one of whom a prescribing psychologist. How does that address this problem?
Right. So prescribing psychologists provide greater access to mental health care, to comprehensive, again, prescriptive, integrative mental health care. Prescribing psychologists in states in which there's been independent prescriptive authority for psychologists for years have increased access to significant mental health care, have doubled the access, have sometimes tripled the access in the states of New Mexico and Louisiana, in the military, for example.
Okay, so, and this compares with other states where they basically say psychologists simply cannot engage in any prescribing of drugs at all.
That's right.
Okay, but there are other people who are not physicians who do have some prescription authority?
Yes, that's correct. So psychiatric nurses, advanced practice nurses, and really it's advanced practice nurses who can prescribe psychotropic medications. There are physician's assistants who prescribe, but typically it needs to be co-signed by a physician.
And so what we're talking about this is specifically addressing mental health.
Mental health care.
We're not talking about penicillin,
right?
Or something else that nurse practitioners in some states would be able to prescribe.
Well, right, and nurse practitioners in some states who are psychiatric nurse practitioners can prescribe psychotropic medications. So there was a study that was done in 2012 by a couple of Princeton researchers, and that found that states in which advanced practice nurses can prescribe independently, the suicide rates plummeted by 12%.
All right. So in addressing mental health, and for a lot of people, this is some people I know personally who have had trouble getting access to the drugs that they need. It is not unfair to call it life and death for
yes.
them.
Yes. There's no question to that.
Okay. Yeah. So comparing states that have that have this and do not have this, what are the key differences?
Well, the states that have independent prescriptive authority have increased access to mental health care. And there's some data to suggest that suicide rates have dropped. And for psychologists with prescriptive authority, there's one study that was done. And in the two states in which there have been many years of independent prescriptive authority, the suicide rates have dropped between 6% and 7%. So far as that one study was able to capture.
Okay, so what stands in the way? I assume there are interest groups at play that simply do not trust these people who didn't get the exact same schooling I did, who are simply not interested in expanding this authority.
I wouldn't say that there's a lack of trust. That's not the way that I would characterize that. I would characterize it as a group of physicians, psychiatrists in particular, who don't want the territory that they have claimed as their own to be shared with other professionals.
Right. That's the real motivation. But if I were selling this to a group of politicians in my state capital, I would say you shouldn't trust these people to engage in this process.
Yes, that's what they say. Yes.
But the evidence for psychologists being able to prescribe psychotropic medications or other medications aimed at improving mental health, what does the evidence say about the risks?
Well, the evidence says that there are very, very few medication errors that are made by prescribing psychologists. So psychologists have been prescribing since 1994, when the first cohort of 10 military psychologists became prescribing psychologists. Psychologists have been prescribing in the states of New Mexico and Louisiana since 2005. And then psychologists have been prescribing in the state of Illinois since 2018. And thousands of prescriptions have been written by prescribing psychologists, and there are very, very few medication errors that have been made in data that's been collected by the federal government, as compared to medication errors that have been that really a significant number of medication errors that have been made by other prescribing health professionals.
Okay, so their numbers are better?
Our numbers are better. Prescribing psychologists' numbers are better, yes.
Okay. So, but in states where this is a territorial dispute, and presumably
in every state.
In every state, it
yes.
is a territorial dispute.
That's right.
How do states throw up hurdles to even where this is nominally, with this on paper, this is legal to prevent psychologists from getting this authority?
Where it's legal, where the law has been passed, giving authority to psychologists who have specialized training in clinical psychopharmacology and medicine, where there is a statute in the books, then it's legal. Then prescribing psychologists are prescribing.
In states where this is on paper legal, are there additional requirements that you think are unnecessary?
So, for example, in Illinois. There are some constraints on psychologists prescribing, and I do believe that most of those constraints are unnecessary. So, for example, there's a constraint against psychologists prescribing to children and adolescents under the age of 17 and to older adults over the age of 65. We don't believe that those constraints are necessary, and we are right now in the process of passing an amendment to our legislative statute that would remove those constraints.
So in Illinois, a patient, somebody that I'm working with on to get better mental health for them, they turn 65 and they have to go see a psychiatrist?
Or typically they'll be seeing their primary care physician, their PCP, because psychiatrists are not very available nor accessible. So they'll be seeing a prescribing professional.
So they go back to essentially, in some sense, they might be going back to crisis mode.
Exactly.
And what evidence do we have that primary care physicians typically have the kind of training that a prescribing psychologist would have?
Well, the evidence we have is that the primary care physicians who are extraordinarily dedicated to their work, extraordinarily well-trained, don't have enough training and education in the mental illnesses and psychotropic and prescribing psychotropic medications. And the AMA has reported that that individuals who have seen a primary care physician for depression, half of those patients are being prescribed the wrong medications. And half of those patients after 1 year do not report any remission in their depression.
All right. So if you're making this pitch to state lawmakers, and
yes.
Hello, state lawmakers, thank you for listening. What do you tell them if they're concerned about suicide, if they're concerned about drug addiction, because people sometimes self-medicate when they're having mental illness issues? What would you say to those people?
I'd say honorable legislators We are psychologists who have been expertly trained in clinical psychopharmacology and medicine. We have 16,000 to 20,000 hours of training in mental health, in diagnostics, in statistics, and research, in psychological theories of psychotherapy, in the psychiatric, in medications. And we are very well prepared to treat all individuals with mental illness. Our numbers are greater, or five times greater than psychiatrists in most every state in the nation by passing legislation that gives authority to psychologists who have this specialized training will provide significantly more access to mental health care. And we will provide evidence, as evidence has been provided, that suicide rates will decline significantly. Mental health symptoms will decline significantly in your constituents. Rural constituents, non-ambulatories, residents and constituents, individuals who are suffering from a whole spectrum of mental illnesses will be able to access mental health care where they have not been before.
Beth Ron Rimmer is a clinical psychologist and a prescribing psychologist. We spoke at the Cato Institute's State Health Policy Summit earlier this month. Feel free to both subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.